because of the mercy which God has shown us, we are called to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by having our minds renewed and following the will of God. But he goes further in his plan now for our lives as his children, as God's children, to be part of the local body and to serve. The internal has been addressed, and now we are faced with the external fruit. It is extremely natural. The world says, get, do for yourself, earn interest, always seek self-benefit, do something for yourself, take care of yourself first. But God's word says, serve from the inside out. John MacArthur says that this passage utterly destroys the notion that a Christian can be committed to Christ, but be inactive in a service, that he can love the Lord, but not obey the Lord, that he can be surrendered to the Lord, but not minister for the Lord. True worship cannot be divorced from service. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, it says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you," Paul is recognizing that his only authority in writing this letter in the first place, or teaching them as he is by the grace which God has shown to him in the first place. He says to them not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. If salvation is utterly by and of God, then there is no room for pride. We were all rebellious, lost, hopeless people before the grace of God appeared to us in the person of Jesus. Spurgeon says, "Pride is as hard to get rid of as charlock from the furrows, as the American blight from the apple trees. If killed, it revives. If buried, it bursts the tomb. You may hunt down this fox and think you have destroyed it, but lo, your very exaltation is pride. None have more pride than those who dream that they have none." Rather, we are to think so as to have sound judgment. Keep the gospel and God's mercy in mind as you consider yourself and the ministry which God allows you to have. Any gifting or ministry you have is only had by the grace of God, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You see, the faith that you have has been given by God as well. Ephesians 2:9, we learn this. For just as we have and then moving on to verse 4, he says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function," we see here that he is emphasizing diversity. Your hands cannot see very well. Your ears don't taste very well. Your hair can't walk. And the fingers cannot brag to the toes that they can grasp better. Well, no, because they were made to grasp and toes were not. So that's the point that he's getting across here. We have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function. But then he emphasizes unity. Verse 5, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." How is it you can go across the world and meet a brother or sister in Christ, and immediately the cultural, age, and interest gap is closed? Whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, whether you are from here or just moved here, whether you are a new believer or have been a believer for 35 years, whether you make millions or thousands, whether you're 5 or 105, we are one body. We have one DNA. We are all connected and functioning from our head, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. John MacArthur says that God's divine plan for believers is unity in message and commitment, but diversity in service. So he points out, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. There's definitely has an aspect of new revelation as seen in the prophets in regards to prophecy, but also, which this passage would refer to, I believe, is simply proclamation of the truth of God's word, to proclaim forth God's word. We also see if service in his serving. The word servant, where we get deacon from, everyone has this. You could say everyone can serve and should serve. Everyone can help in various ways. Or he who teaches in his teaching. Is it various ways in which we teach? Sunday school, preaching, sharing the gospel. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, coming alongside somebody. Or he who gives with liberality, giving sacrificially of what you have for the sake of others and the gospel. He who leads with diligence, leading as pastors or deacons in many different ways as well, teaching Sunday school or serving in nursery, we do it with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, This would point out one specifically apt to recognizing people's hardships and the suffering, and whether on the outside or inside, and that this reaching out in the service should be done graciously and with joy. All these commands, the internal and external, stem from the mercy of God. So what are you in the body of Christ? Could you possibly be a part which is fat, something that sits and takes but does not contribute? Are you a cancerous part, maybe causing division or discord? Are you an amputated part, not gathering or taking part in the body, not meeting together with the church? Or are you a healthy part, humbly serving as God has gifted unto the glory of our head, Jesus Christ?